Today we consider Children's Day. Jesus loves the little children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much that Jesus loves the little children. We sing that song, but we're going to look at the record of Scripture. And I pray that we will learn why Jesus loves the little children. And we will love them for the same reason and learn from it. So help us through this study, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the political world, they say there was a war on women. It seems like for real these days, there is a war on children. People in our world are trying to destroy childhood in so many ways. They're corrupting the morals of young children and teens, and it's kind of scary as to consider what the next generation of adults is going to be like. And I can tell you there's one particular person that's very unhappy about all of this. It's Jesus. There's no doubt that Jesus loves the little children. There are a couple of incidents. Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 18 give us the record. Mark and Luke share in the record of some of these things as to what Jesus thought about little children. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 13, he calls them little children. Then there were brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. Mark uses the term young children. It's the same thing as little children, but Luke uses a different term, infants. The term little children or young children comes from a word that suggests these children are below school age. At the time, Jewish children in Jesus' day started their education anywhere from age 5 to age 7, depending upon the family and the circumstances. But the word infants refers to newborns, little tiny babies. So we're talking about a mixture of ages, but probably all no older than 6 years old. These are little children. The parents had a purpose, verse 13, that he should put his hands on them and pray. Both Mark and Luke say that the parents wanted Jesus to touch their children. They use that word, touch. They wanted him to touch them. They viewed this as a means of bestowing upon their children a blessing. This is what was done. If you recall in our study in Sunday evenings in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 14, when Jacob was going to bless Joseph's 2 sons, he put his hands on their heads and offered the blessing for them. Remember, he switched his hands. Joseph wanted the right hand on the oldest, but Jacob switched hands. But the point being, the hands on the head, and then he declared some wonderful thing to come in the future for them. In Genesis chapter 48 and verse 20, Jacob even declared that Manasseh and Ephraim would become a proverb among the people of Israel. In other words, God would bless them so much that if you wanted to suggest somebody be blessed, may God, you would say something like this: be blessed like Manasseh and Ephraim. And then there was the time when Jesus was asked to bring the daughter of a certain ruler back to life again. And what did Jesus do? He laid his hand upon her and bestowed that blessing. Here in our context, in Matthew chapter 19, where the parents brought their children. The point was they wanted their children to have direct contact with Jesus because they knew that this would bring a blessing upon their lives. Let me just say, the point of children's ministries today is to give children direct access to Jesus. And that is an important thing to do. If you're not giving children direct access to Jesus, your ministry is failing its purpose. That's what they need. They need to have direct access to Jesus so that he can spiritually touch their lives, save them from eternal destruction. Because little children do have the capacity to believe. It says in verse 13 here in Matthew chapter 19 that as they brought the children for him to lay his hands upon them, the disciples rebuked them. Now, this is not a harsh word. It's not that they were charging the parents with a crime or something for which they should repent. It was just kind of shooing them away, trying to keep them away from Jesus. But Jesus said, verse 14, suffer, allow, permit little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. Mark tells us in Mark chapter 10, verse 14, that Jesus was much displeased with what the disciples were doing. Much displeased. He was indignant. While the disciples were not using a harsh term in their rebuke, this is kind of a harsh term in Jesus' attitude toward the disciples. He was very irritated with them. They should know better. Did he ever not have time for anyone? And little children, especially, Jesus wanted them to come. He says, for of such is the kingdom of heaven, referring to the simplicity of faith which a child is capable of. Over in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, we will observe it says, except ye be converted and become as little children. He says, you big adults need to have a change in your life. That's what the term converted means. There needs to be a change. Now, there are lots of things that children cannot do. For example, a 5-year-old child cannot drive a car because he can't reach the pedals, I guess. Although my wife did drive a tractor when she was 5 years old. They cannot teach a class on molecular biology. I can hardly say the word myself. I don't even think a genius child has ever achieved that yet at age 5. A 5-year-old cannot hit a baseball out of the park like a home run hitter on a professional team. 5-year-old cannot get a job and work 40 hours a week. But a 5-year-old can believe in Jesus. Faith is really that simple. So Jesus uses the children as an object lesson. The two parts to the object lesson. The first here in Mark chapter 10 and verse 15, I believe it. Yeah, in verse 15 it says, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not in no wise enter therein. In other words, anyone who wants to be saved must receive Jesus Christ by way of a simplistic childlike faith. So what is the significance of a simplistic childlike faith? Let me suggest this. little children, 4 and 5 years old, have not yet learned the skill of skepticism. You tell a child something, they have no reason not to believe it. That's why it is so important to tell the children the truth and not to lie to them. I might be stepping in a little bit of weeds here. But if you tell a child that if they lose a tooth and you put it under a pillow, a tooth fairy's going to come and give them money for it, and you put the money under the pillow, what's the child going to do? He's going to believe in the tooth fairy. You tell a child a fat man in a red suit can fly in the air in a snow sled, and they're going to believe it. Why not just tell them that Jesus is God and he's the Savior? And let them believe that because it's true. They'll believe it. They're not going to come back with all kinds of reasons and arguments and excuses and all of that jargon that adults who have become skeptical will use. Just tell children the truth from the beginning. And Jesus' larger point is that we all, teens and adults, must put away our skepticism, have a change in the way we approach truth, and simply believe it. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 15. I was looking at my notes. There were two parts to that illustration, but I forgot to tell you what the first part was. I did tell you, but I forgot to tell you that it was the first part. Anyway, Matthew chapter 19, verse 15, he laid his hands on them. Mark chapter 10 and verse 16, he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. He declared good things for these children to come in their lives. That's what a blessing is. And every child who is brought into direct contact with Jesus can have that same blessing. They can have eternal life when they believe in Jesus. So let's go over to Matthew chapter 18. Verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" This wasn't the only time they had that argument. They were so concerned about who was going to be first, who was going to be the greatest. Verse 2, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Excuse me, and said, verse 3, "Verily I say unto you," in other words, I'm telling you the absolute truth, "except you be converted, except there come a change in your life, and you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." You cannot continue in your worldly thoughts and behaviors and beliefs and get in. You must come with a simple childlike faith that is totally free of skepticism. No skepticism whatsoever. No reservations. No questions. Just believe it. And once you're in, by faith, you have to have a childlike humility to be great, verse 4 of chapter 18. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What is real humility? It's a lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. The attitude that I am nothing and God is everything. It's exactly the opposite of the world's promotion of self-esteem, in which you are supposed to tell yourself that you're great and you're wonderful and I am wonderful and I can do anything I want to do. Well, I think there's some limitations to that. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel," is that a good thing? Absolutely. "I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Okay, I did a good thing. I preached the gospel. But I can't boast about it. There's nothing for me to boast about because I'm just doing my duty as God called me to do. That's all there is. Paul says necessity is laid upon me. I have to do this. And it's not something that I do because I am so talented as a preacher. No. Because the Holy Spirit used me. And if the Holy Spirit's not using me, I'm doing it in the flesh, and that's not going to turn out so well. Oh, I might draw a following to myself, but what good is that? Because the purpose of preaching is to bring people to Jesus, not to me. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Paul says, "I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles." I'm right there with all of the other apostles. If you're going to put us, categorize us one through how many ever, I'm among the apostles. Though as far as I am, I be nothing. That's the attitude we all need to have. My apostleship, Paul says, is my calling. I'm doing what I'm called to do, but it's not because I am anything. I am nothing. Christ is everything. So back to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 5. He says, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." One such little one. I think it has a double meaning. It certainly does refer to the little children. But it would also refer to others who have become like a little child in their faith and humility. Jesus certainly does have a special place in his heart for young children because they can so easily believe in him. Rather than teaching children about the tooth fairy, the Easter bunny, or any other fantasy, we ought to tell them the truth. Jesus is real, and he's the one who can they can truly rely upon and trust in, the one who will save them. I really don't believe we should be political in the pulpit. Unfortunately, sometimes the world of politics takes a biblical issue and makes it a political issue. Children are a political issue these days. That's unfortunate. And I have no reservation of talking about it because it's a biblical issue. We see it right here in the text of Scripture. I'll simply say this, that the garbage people are teaching children in public schools these days is exactly what Jesus is talking about here when he talks about offending little children. They're filling young children's minds with such garbage that it makes it difficult to convince children these days to believe in Jesus. But Jesus has a special place in his heart for these little children, and we need to get them first. But Jesus also has a special place in his heart for those who will be converted and be like little children. And then he addresses the danger of offending them in verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Jesus refers to little ones which believe in him. And here again, I think it has a double meaning. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3 says, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children. So I think Jesus can just as easily be talking about both the little children and those who have become as little children. All believers, anyone who believes in him, but especially the little children, because, in the conclusion of this, I'll explain why I believe the little children have such a special place in Jesus' heart. But he warns against offending these believers. To put a stumbling block in their path, to cause them to trip and fall, to lose their way. That's the offense that he's talking about. To impede a believer's spiritual progress. Notice, he refers to those who believe, verse 6. These little ones which believe in me. So he's talking about those who impede the progress, the spiritual progress of children who have believed in him. Such as sports teams that insist on having games on Wednesdays and Sundays that keep children from attending church. Or jobs for teenagers that force them to work on Wednesdays and Sundays in order to keep their jobs so they can't attend church. Or teachers who make fun of a child's faith and put thoughts in their minds which cause them to doubt what they have believed. And that's not only happening in elementary school, it's happening in colleges as well. Or friends. One of the least suspecting places where such influence might come from. But friends who put pressure on our young people to participate in bad behavior or simply to do something that is not biblical to be accepted as part of the group, or to make decisions that are not part of God's will. Or peer pressure, whether in school or on the job. Peer pressure to yield to unbiblical behavior in order to advance and be promoted. These are the offenses. Anything you put in a believer's path, no matter what the age, that prevents them from making spiritual progress in their lives. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus says. Verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Better than what? It's a comparison word. It would be better for this person to have this millstone. You know what you're talking about? These big round stones they use to grind wheat into flour, has a hole in the middle of it where they would put it on the post so that they could turn it, put that around their head and cast them into the sea. Better than what? Mark chapter 9 and verse 43 refers to hell, fire that never shall be quenched. What happens if you have a millstone around your neck and you're cast into the sea? You drown and die. Hopefully that's the end, right? No. Well, it would be better for you if it was the end, because the real consequence is hellfire that never shall be quenched. Jesus loves the little children. Now let me tell you why. Because little children are a wonderful illustration of the simplicity that everyone needs in order to truly believe in Jesus. That's it. You need to be converted and become as little children. Remove all of the skepticism from your thoughts. Don't argue the point. Jesus is the Savior. Now, questions are fine. Don't misunderstand me. Questions are fine if you truly want to know the answers. Don't misunderstand. Somebody said, once said, there's no bad question. Well, there are some bad questions because the Pharisees asked some bad questions. But there are good questions, and if you truly want to know the answers, don't misunderstand. I'm talking about questions of skepticism with the intent to argue against the point. All of that has to be removed. Don't tell children lies. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth young enough, they'll believe it. Don't use tricks. Just tell them the truth. That's all you have to do, and they'll believe it. May we all be like a young child and simply believe it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this truth. Thank you that Jesus loves the little children and loves the fact that they are an illustration to all of us. May we learn the lesson. Put away skepticism and have a simple faith and believe in Jesus and trust in Jesus and follow Jesus wherever he leads us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.